Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, it's not uncommon for skeptics to suppose that Christians are, well, irrational, because we believe in a God we can't see. In reality, it is rational for someone to suppose that what cannot be seen doesn't exist. And why is that? It's because Christians and skeptics alike recognize such things as electrons, or for that matter, the laws of logic, or the force of gravity, despite the fact that all of these and many more they're unseen. And even the most ardent anti-supernaturalist recognizes the gravity of gravity, particularly if you're standing way, way up in the air, or you're in a helicopter looking out the door and hoping it doesn't open up. And not only all of that, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen. They're understood from what has been created, and therefore we as human beings, or as the Bible puts it, without excuses. The order, the complexity of the universe testifies to the existence of an uncaused first cause. And I should add to this that Christ is the very image of the invisible God, and therefore the incarnation of Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation. Therefore, we can experience the power and presence of God in a way that is more fundamentally real than our own perceptions of the physical world. Whenever I think of the physical world and the infinite complexity of this world, I think of what has been described as a pale blue dot, but a dot that is located in the Milky Way galaxy. It's a fairly typical spiral galaxy, but it has 100 to 400 billion stars. And the Milky Way is just a speck in the observable universe, where there may well be as many as 2 trillion galaxies. Imagine that. Take it all into account, and there are more than 1 billion trillion stars, more stars than grains of sand by at least a factor of 10 to 1. And you could think even further. Contemplate the fact that each grain of sand contains 100 billion billion individual atoms. More atoms in one grain than grains of sand on Earth, or for that matter, stars in 1 billion Milky Way galaxies. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. A single drop of water is comprised of almost 2 billion trillion individual H2O molecules. What that means is a few large drops of water would contain a total molecule count that would exceed the total number of stars in the entire universe. The more you contemplate the grandeur of the universe in which we reside, the more we are brought in touch with the glory and the grandeur of the invisible God who made himself known in time and space through the visible Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to the phone calls. First up, Reginald, listening in Bedford Heights, Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Reginald.
Hi, Brother Hank, and thank you for taking my call, and may God continue to bless your body, heal you.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm having problems phrasing it, as far as concerning keeping the Sabbath, the seventh day, keeping it holy. And then with it being changed I believe I heard you mention during Constantine from Saturday to Sunday, and in the Western, here in the West, we celebrate Christ on Sunday. So is it something that we are to stay to go back to the Sabbath? And where do Colossians, all of chapter 2, where do that come in to where it's no longer under the law?
Well, I think, first of all, we've got to get rid of some mythology. Constantine the Great gets blamed for so many things. It is simply incredible. He's probably not only turning over in his grave, but he's going into high rotation with what has been attributed to him. You know, the reason that we worship on the first day of the week is not Constantine, but it is rather the example of the early church. In remembrance of the resurrection, early Christian church members, they changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. I'm talking about an apostolic succession from the apostles to the apostolic fathers to the holy fathers. They changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And within weeks, thousands of Jews, and this is just within weeks, these Jews willingly gave up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity. So God, not Constantine, provided the early church with a new pattern of worship as a result of Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week. And not only that, the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. So here you have people that are steeped in a tradition that suddenly turn it on its head. Why? Because the greatest of all celebrations is now before us, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the pinnacle of the Christian faith. Without resurrection, we have no hope. With resurrection, we are those that have the greatest of all aspirations, the aspiration toward a new heaven and a new earth and glorified bodies. Not only that, Reginald, but Scripture provides us with the reasons behind this symbol of the Sabbath. And we have to think about this as a symbol, a type or a shadow that points something forward to something far greater. So let me sort of cash that out by saying in Genesis, Sabbath was a celebration of God's completed work in creation. After the Exodus, the Sabbath expands and it becomes a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. And then as a result of the resurrection that I alluded to earlier, the Sabbath's emphasis shifted again because it became a celebration of the rest we have through Christ who delivers us from sin and the grave. And as I said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled all the symbols of the Sabbath. And of course, if we want to go back to the symbols, then we have to go back to them in their entirety. If you insist on being slavishly bound to Old Testament laws, then we have to be forewarned that failing to keep the letter of the law could indeed be hazardous to our health. Because according to the Mosaic law, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath has to be put to death. But Paul explains in Colossians, which you alluded to, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So in the end, religious rites have to inevitably bow to redemptive realities. And much more could be said about Colossians, and maybe I'll do that after the break if I have some time, or we'll go on to some other questions. My thanks for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Do remember the resource of the month, Eat, Fast, Feast. It's a hit, and for a good reason. It's making the difference in the lives of a lot of people. Heal your body while feeding your soul. It's a Christian guide to fasting, which is one of the most neglected spiritual disciplines in the Christian life. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. So please don't touch that dial.
Many Christians today view fasting as weird, unimportant, legalistic, or even unhealthy. If we won't make fasting a part of our lives, we will never enjoy the blessings, physical, mental, and spiritual, that fasting offers. Simply put, many Christians need a paradigm shift when it comes to making fasting a part of their lives. For Christians interested in reaping the physical, mental, and spiritual rewards of fasting, the new book by J.W. Richards, Eat, Fast, Feast, is a must-read. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
The book, Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat, Fast, Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a six-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And by the way, my wife, Kathy, is putting Eat, Fast, Feast into practice. She's been marveling at my slim body, my small waist, and my great big biceps. No, they're not there yet. But anyway, she's been putting it into practice. She's already beautiful, but she wants to feel completely healthy, and she's very concerned about the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is her body. So it's not necessarily for vainglory. It is for practical purposes, because as the mother of many, many children and grandchildren, she has to be ready to go at all times. And of course, she is. I don't know how she does it. She sleeps less than any person I know, maybe even less than Donald Trump, who I think only sleeps about 4 hours a night. My son, Paul Stephen, from whom I obtained stem cells, and that's given me a new lease on life. He's also decided to put this into practice, and my goodness, when he puts something into practice, he goes all out. So he's putting every aspect of this into practice. And yesterday, I went out to eat with our whole family for a birthday celebration for my daughter, Christina. And Paul Stephen sat there, because in the middle of a fast, he sat there and watched us all eat and never ate a bite. That took incredible willpower. Anyway, the book is transformational. Your copy available at equip.org for your support. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go to Joseph in Newburgh, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great.
How's everything with you?
I'm doing wonderfully well. Thank you.
It's great to see you back at it again with everything that you were doing before everything went down. It's a blessing to hear you out there on the airways again.
Thank you.
I have a little bit of a predicament in a sense. It's like my entire walk in my faith has gotten completely destroyed in many ways. I've been a child of Roman Catholicism, Protestantism, and Eastern Orthodoxy. And unfortunately, over the past year or so, I've been finding myself in a sense, internally ripped between the three. And for some strange reason, I see truth in everything. I see truth in the three of them. But my problem is I'm really having a hard time settling down on where I need to stay. And it's, I've been praying about it, and I've been asking, the Holy Spirit to guide me about it. But I don't know if it's my own ego, trying to shoot me in different directions, or it's I'm not hearing it. And it's, been very hard, for me to, settle and just stay somewhere.
Yeah, I think it might help to read my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, or listen to the MP3 or the CDs. Because one of the things I do in the book is I go back to the beginning, and that's what happened for me. I wanted to know how church was done at the embryonic stages of the Christian faith spreading throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. And so I started studying the succession from Christ to the apostles, from the apostles to the apostolic fathers, from the apostolic fathers to the holy fathers. And through that progression, I learned a lot about church history that I didn't know before. There was a time, of course, when there was only one way of doing church. And if you want to get some kind of a sense of how that works, you can actually read documents that were extant at the turn of the first century, moving into the second century, like the Didache. And there you get a sense of how church was done. And one of the things that really struck me was the significance of the Eucharist, that the Eucharist was central. It was at the centerpiece of church. It was the chief instrument for Christian divinization, meaning it was the chief instrument whereby we, as icons of God, can become God-like. We never become what God is by essence, but we can imbibe the energies of God and thereby be transformed. So I started looking at how the graces were dispensed in the early church. And that led me also to looking very critically, not critically in the sense of criticizing, but looking very deeply at the seven ecumenical councils. And then church history to the split between the East and the West, where you now have Eastern Orthodoxy, as it were, and Roman Catholicism. And then 500 years later, where there's a split in the Western Church between the Protestants and the Roman Catholic Church. So now you have all kinds of fissuring that continues on in Protestantism. So if you reel it all back, you find out for 1,000 years, there was a unified sense of how church ought to be done. And then there was a split. But even with the split, the Eucharist was central. It became, as I said, for the church, the chief instrument through which a person could experience the energies of God. So I think that has to be central in your thinking. But I can't tell you where to go, and I can simply say that God has his people everywhere. I write about this in my last chapter of the book called Fusion. You know, the idea that we need to fuse rather than fissure, because there has to be an answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer that we all could be as one, even as Christ and the Father's one, so the world might believe that God sent Jesus Christ into the world. So I think a lot of this has to do with going back to what's central and what's most important. And for me, the central fact is that the church is a Eucharistic assembly, that the church is a spiritual gymnasium in which you receive graces that transform you, but you also learn spiritual disciplines that are transformational. And I think you have to get away from this whole transactional kind of Christianity, which has become so prominent in modern day church, which is you say a prayer, and now you have a pass to get into heaven and keep out of hell, and you can live as a baptized secular humanist as opposed to being transformed from one glory to another. So I think it might help you to read my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. That's why I wrote the book, because it's about the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin in Apple Valley, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Hank. I am embarrassed to admit this, but I just have the hardest time trusting God. I see, I read in the scriptures about his love, but I don't feel it personally. And I am afraid to trust God. When I'm when things are going well, I'm afraid because I'm waiting for the next for the other shoe to drop. When things are bad, I feel like this is the way I pay for being such a sinner. I've prayed, I've fasted, or I'm fasting now. Do you have any wisdom for me on the nature of God as it relates to me in such a way that I can actually believe it?
Yeah. You know, I think you sort of in your own preface to the question answered the question. I mean, I think the idea for trust always involves knowing someone. I mean, I trust my wife because I know her. So things could be askew financially, but I know at the bedrock I trust my wife. So even if I can't figure out something in my head financially that might be going on in our life, I know I can trust my wife. I know her. I know what her skills are, and I trust her implicitly. So that's the same kind of idea we have to have with respect to God. The more we know him, the more we can trust him. So how do you know him? Well, you do the very things that you're talking about. You're talking about fasting. You're talking about getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you. You're talking about intimacy with God through prayer. You're talking about being a vital reproducing member in a healthy, well-balanced church, because you cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. The church dispenses graces that give you the nourishing milk by which you grow. So I'm saying that I'm thinking about some of my grandchildren and watching them being nursed. meditate on God's promises. God works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And let me say, as I've gone through 3 years of cancer, I can tell you that some of my closest moments with God have not been on the mountaintop, but they've been in the valley, in the cauldron of adversity. You learn to trust God. You learn to know him. You learn to recognize that he does all things, not capriciously, but rather for a good purpose, and that God always keeps his promises. That's what the scripture tells us. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. That was true with the children of Israel, and it's true with you as a child of the King of Israel. Meditate on the Psalms, by the way. I think that would help you a lot. Psalms like Psalm 186 or Psalm 139 or Psalm 51, all of that I think will help you. I wish I could talk more to you, Kevin. I'm flat out of time. God bless you. I will commit to pray for you as soon as the broadcast is over. Thanks for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for your support. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat Fast Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, a Christian guide to fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.